This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hi. Monty in the Morning, choking on a monster. Wow. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. It is January 15th, and they're putting robots in your rectum. I'm telling you right now. Tell me that's not happening. Dude. We have a story coming up on the show today about robots that will have human DNA.
Robots in your rectum.
I'm just telling robots rectum. I'm telling you right now, they're talking about putting human DNA into robots. I'm out,
Skynet,
man.
Bro.
I'm out. I'm telling you. Look, man.
Skynet.
Say what you want. Yeah, it's Terminator in your ass. That's the problem. Right? Like, I'm serious. And they're like, oh, but what they'll do is they'll crawl around your heart valves. Yeah, oh, yeah, they're going to help you. They're going to save your life. Yeah, they're going to eat my heart. That's what they're going to do. No, I'm good. I'm good. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it, right? Discipline or disappointment? Let's be disciplined right now, please, because this show is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. NapaOnline.com. NapaOnline.com through the rest of the week. By the way, at NapaOnline.com, you spend $125 online at NapaOnline.com. It is what it is. I have brain damage. If you spend $125 or more at NapaOnline.com, they're going to give you a $25 instant savings when you use the promo code SAVE25 at NapaOnline.com. All you have to do is order online. Their full catalog's available. Napa's full parts catalog is online, available for purchase at NapaOnline.com. You spend $125, you use the promo code SAVE25. They're knocking $25 off instantly at NapaOnline.com. Valid only on buy online and ship to your home orders. Oh, by the way, if you are a motor oil fan such as myself, this month at participating Napa Auto Parts stores like our good friend Napa Mike, in El Mirage, Peoria, Glendale, Scottsdale Air Park, and Phoenix on Bell Road, Napa Auto Parts has 5-quart jugs of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $27.99. Quality parts, helpful people, that's your Napa know-how. Make sure you go by and see Napa Mike and you tell him you heard about it on the Monty Show. Do not ask him about robots in his rectum. Instead, ask him about the Astros and the Red Sox, because that's where I want to start. This situation with the cheating scandal in baseball, where you have a guy in Alex Cora yesterday who got fired. I resigned. We came to a mutual parting of the seas.
Whatever.
I'm out. I'm telling you.
Dude, the monster's getting
slurping
after
you, that bro. Monster is killing me right now. Anyway, the point is slurp it. The point is, Alex Cora fired by the Red Sox yesterday after they mutually agreed to part ways.
Yeah.
You know this already after the Houston Astros fired their general manager, Jeff Luhnow. They fired their field manager in A.J. Hinch. They were fined $5 million, and they lost their first and second round draft picks in 2020 and 2021. So I'm asking, okay, cool, where's the punishment now? Because I feel like the Astros, and now if this is all we hear from the Red Sox, and my guess is that it won't be all we hear.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Astros got off incredibly easy because we all know in baseball, and if you're not a baseball fan, let me tell you, like in the NFL, if they pulled your first round and second round picks for 2 years, you're in trouble.
Big trouble.
In baseball, the best talent is usually later in the draft, right? Because the worst teams are always going to get the best talent at the top of the draft. So teams like the Houston Astros, who just won the World Series, or the Boston Red Sox, who just are coming off of a World Series 2 years ago, are not going to suffer when they lose first-round draft picks. That's just not the way the baseball draft works. That's not a punishment. Finding a billionaire like Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, who's a billionaire, Finding him $5 million is equivalent to finding me, what, $100, $50?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a lot of money. There was no punishment here. He's got a guy in Joe Espada, who's the bench coach in Houston, who's one of the hottest managerial candidates in all of baseball, and he's going to promote him to be the manager. And you're going to have Jeff Luhnow, the former general manager who got fired. You're going to have his assistant, a guy named Pete Pitula, is going to be promoted to be the new general manager. So what have you really lost if you're the Houston Astros, Jake?
Yeah, I don't think you've lost a whole lot. And I think your point about the draft is spot on. I mean, all the best talent, all the biggest names in baseball, right? You know, usually are guys who came up and you know, were later round draft picks and they got developed. And that's the beauty of baseball. Typically, you know, guys like stars, like think about, you know, Chris Bryant, for example, right? Chris Bryant came up through the minor league system with the Cubs. You know, they held him back, you know, in a little bit of time, which everybody was all pissed about. But my point is that, you know, he's one of the best players that they've had, you know, and he's somebody that they brought up through their system. And so in baseball, it's very much different than the NFL, where, you know, you've got to evaluate talent starting at the high school level, right? And basically, you're following these guys around. And
yeah,
the ones that the good teams in baseball know, the guys know, they have a whiteboard in their GM's room with the names of the future prospects that they're going to get, right?
Yeah. And it really, again, not to belabor this point,
mm-hmm,
I don't feel like there was really any penalty in Houston. They won a World Series. I mean, and for all, there's a lot of people saying, well, I didn't really see any cheating. And I point to Alex Wood in game 4 of the 2017 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros lost one game at home. They were 8-1 during the 2017 postseason. It was game 4 of the World Series to the Dodgers and Alex Wood. And why did they lose that game? Because Alex Wood had gotten word from a friend of his in baseball that the Astros were stealing signs. So Alex Wood and Austin Barnes, who was a catcher for the Dodgers at the time, updated their sequence every eighth pitch. So they would throw eighth pitch and... let me be technical for a second. When you're, yeah, a pitcher in baseball, right? Hey, third sign indicator, which means like the catcher puts signs down by his testicular region.
Where the robots are.
He'll go like 3-4-1-3-5, right? So third sign indicator, 3-4-1 fastball, 5-3-9. Okay, so what they were doing is, okay, well, the third sign is what we're going with. Eight pitches later, okay, on that ninth pitch, we're going to change that to the first sign.
Yeah, and usually it, Alex Wood and, in this case, Alex Wood and Austin Barnes, who were doing this, had worked something out before the game where every eighth pitch, one of them would signal to each other what that next sign was going to be. So if that
and
first
it was
round,
Austin, it was Austin Barnes doing a double pull on his chest protector.
Yeah.
That's what
and
we,
usually,
we know
usually
that by
it's
now.
Something small like that.
Yeah,
so
he'll
it's
just
not
go
obvious.
Like this to,
yeah,
mean, hey, this is at eighth pitch. Now this next pitch, third sign indicator is. And what they were saying on MLB Network was that if it was up here, you know, first sign. If it was in the middle double pull, okay, second sign.
Yeah.
Like they have, yep, little things like that worked out.
And I'm sure when you played, I mean, there's that kind of thought process of like, sharing signs and communicating on the field without being obvious about it happens all the time.
As a pitcher, my catcher, who I Travis something or other, I can't remember his name, it was where he put his glove.
Mm.
So if his glove was on his knee, like uh-huh, when he was in the squat, when he was giving the sign, if his glove was next to his knee, it was one sign. If his glove was on top of his knee, it was another sign.
Yeah. So you have those, yeah, things worked out. It's,
yeah,
it's little things like that. And again, that's why I say, I said this on the show yesterday, baseball is a much more complicated game, and it is a much more game of like detail and little things that you have to notice. And I don't think your average run-of-the-mill fan watching a baseball game notices those little things, because you really have to be paying attention to see when you know, Austin Barnes is communicating signs and stuff, you know? And to me, like, I can't say that I vividly remember him doing that, but I can say that there have been times when we've been watching a game that you and I have said, okay, this looks like they're changing their signs, you know?
Yeah, but the very best of the best, you will never know they're doing
exactly
it.
Exactly.
That's the point. So when you know that the Houston Astros were using that center field camera to shoot into the catcher's crotch.
Right.
You know that they wouldn't know that the sequence was changing. So my point is, Alex Wood in game four, the only game that the Astros lost at home that year,
yeah,
changed sign sequence every ninth pitch. On the ninth pitch, it was a new sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd throw eight, that ninth pitch would be different, and he won the game.
And then what's fascinating to me is he had that success. He was the only one to win, yet the other Dodger pitchers didn't follow.
Yeah,
that.
Clayton Kershaw is one of the guys that people point to as a victim of the Astros sign stealing because he got absolutely blown up in game five of the 2017 World Series. And he's one of the guys that they say. I think the real victim of the Astros sign stealing, by the way, is not the Dodgers. It's Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Because Aaron Judge finished second to Jose Altuve in the 2017 MVP vote.
Mm-hmm.
And Jose Altuve's road and home splits were completely different.
Of course they
so,
were.
So because he knew what pitches were coming at home, and he didn't know what pitches were coming on the road.
Yeah.
So it's this whole thing where I think it's a fraud. And what I'm saying is, as we talk about the Houston Astros stealing signs, what I'm saying is I think you should have taken away their entire draft for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think you should have stripped or vacated that World Series and had it be no champion named because the Astros got caught stealing signs.
Exactly. I think it should literally be written in the history book like that. Hey, we don't have a champion this year because Houston was caught stealing signs.
Yes.
So we took that World Series away from them. Like, that to me is totally justified. I mean, Major League Baseball tends to be this league where, you know, baseball players are like role models and they're always putting out these great PR campaigns. But what kind of message does this send to, you know, the next generation of baseball players, right? Who are invested in the game and, you know, are playing it every day and working really hard, and they want to be, you know, one day they want to be, you know, Correa, or they want to be Jose Altuve, or, you know, whoever, right? So, you know, when the Astros are caught cheating and, you know, they're doing all these things behind the scenes to try and go out and win a World Series and instead of just, you know, winning it naturally, I have a huge problem with that. And I think,
But do people really care? Do people really care if the Astros or anybody else is stealing signs? I mean, we looked past an entire generation of baseball players that use steroids.
But I think now we're over the steroid thing, right? I think then when it was like in the heat of the moment and there
right.
was trials and, like, you know, everything was up in the air, I think baseball was in a really bad place. Like, I think there were a lot of people wondering, like, where does the game go from here? Like,
but you really think people give a damn if baseball teams are stealing signs? Because I don't. I think the thing that's been most shocking to me is the answer that, well, guys still had to hit the baseball.
Well, that's true. But at the end of the day, it I don't think people quite understand how much of an advantage it is to know what pitch is coming, right?
Oh, my God.
Because if you know what pitch is coming, half the art of hitting is not hitting the baseball, not swinging at bad pitches, right? So, yes, it's true. You still have to hit the baseball. That's what we said with Barry Bonds. That's what we're saying with this. And I agree with it. It's one of the most difficult things you can ask the human mind to do. Hit a round object with a round bat, right? Like, that's not easy to do. But these guys do it for a living, and they're expected to do it at a high level. So, you know, to give them basically the key to the lock, what pitch is coming, they're going to have no problem hitting, you know, just sending 99 out to right field for a single. That's not a problem, you know? So I just to me, it just goes so much further than that. It's not about the actual act of stealing the sign. It's about the thought process that they said to themselves, hey, we're going to go ahead and do this because we don't think we're going to get caught, so much to the point that we have a table and a video set up, you know, just at the bottom of the stairs. Like, it's just ridiculous to me. And that's the other thing too, like most people don't get that kind of access the way you and I have had access or the way the media has access. So I don't think they quite understand just how brazen this was.
Oh,
by
my
the
God.
Astros.
Yeah. I mean, this was 10 feet off the dugout.
Literally 10 feet. Like just far enough so you can't see it from a TV camera, right? But close enough where you can hear, like, they could relay the signs by hitting the garbage can.
So that you would hit the garbage can with the bat.
Yeah.
And then the batter at home plate could hear it.
Yeah.
And it was very brazen.
Yeah.
And now that you know what they were doing, you see videos of players running up the tunnel after a game.
Yeah.
And you see a guy carrying a TV away. And you're like, oh, yeah, there you go. That's what they were doing.
Yep.
Right? And they had it. They knew. The reason you knew the Astros knew what they were doing was wrong is because their TV setup was on a table, right, that was running this way. And the staircase down from the dugout or down from the locker room was here. into the tunnel to go to the dugout. They put a curtain up so that if you were standing at the top of the stairs, you couldn't see the TV.
Mm.
So they knew what they were doing was wrong. There's no doubt about that.
And listen, if you're able to steal signs naturally and organically without using a camera or anything like that, that's great. Like, that is part of the game.
Right, but that's part of the game because that's on the catcher and the pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? If you're standing on first base or if you're a third base coach or if you're whatever, and the catcher is giving you access to his signs enough that you're able to guess sequence and read them and consistently understand what they're doing, because stealing signs is not easy, by the way. There's a methodology to it, but if you're standing on base and you're able to steal somebody's signs, that's a you problem.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's when you take a TV camera, point it at the catcher's crotch, and you sit there and you diagnose what they're doing. This is why Alex Cora got fired by the Red Sox, because the Red Sox, by the way, Alex Cora was the mastermind of that Houston Astros sign stealing scheme, because he was the bench coach there. Then he goes to Boston, and his players are going down to the video room watching sign sequences and stealing signs from opponents because, lo and behold, they had a camera focused on the catcher, and they were stealing signs from the catcher electronically.
They still lost the division.
Yeah, but this is my point with the Red Sox situation. You fired Alex Cora. Oh, well, big deal. We'll get you another general man. We'll get you another manager.
Yeah.
Right. You just changed GM, so you're probably not going to get a GM fired here.
Dude, I don't disagree. They did not really kneecap either of these organizations. They just basically play the PR game, and that's what I think they do in Major League Baseball. And that's why I'm not a huge fan of Rob Manfred. I got to be honest with you. I don't like the rule change mantra that he brings. I don't like the fact that everything has got to be a long, like, drawn out process. Like, you know what they did. You know how to, you know, you're a smart guy or you wouldn't be the commissioner of Major League Baseball. You know exactly what the punishment would be to really hurt these organizations and really send a message, right? But they're not doing that. All they want is the Bleacher Report update to come across the public's phone that says, well, Major League Baseball fined them $5 million and took this and fired that guy. Like, that's what they want, you know? And at the end of the day, that's unfortunate, but it's like you said, do people really even care? Because based on Rob Manfred's actions in the league office, like, I think they're banking on the fact that the public doesn't care that much.
I would totally agree with that. And, you know, the Bruce on Twitter says World Series wins should be vacated.
Yeah.
But again, that's never going to happen. Like, baseball is never going to purposefully tarnish its own history. Which I think is moronic.
But I think they're doing that now.
I think by not doing that, I think they're doing that now.
Yeah.
You know, like, we could go on and on about this. I still maintain that you should vacate those World Series. Bruce, the New York Jew Yankee fan, now you've changed your name again. First, it was a pizza reference. Didn't he have, wasn't his name the other day?
The triangle slice of pizza.
Now it's Barry, the New York Jew Yankee fan, who says the Red Sox should be eliminated from all postseason play for 5 years.
I think it's an interesting
conversation. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation to just, because this is what we see in college athletics, right? Like, you can't, you know, you're banned from going to bowl games or you're banned from going to tournaments or whatever. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea, you know, make them play it out in the regular season and that's that.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, I think it's easy. I think it's easy to sit here and wonder, and I think it's easy and it's funny. Tristan on Periscope, Tristan says, "I am a Cubs fan, and it pisses me off that we didn't steal signs. How is everybody not doing this?" That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
By the way, I think everybody is doing this in one form or another, right?
Well, I mean, you can't tell me that other teams don't know that the Astros were doing it.
Do you really care that teams cheat? Let's
be
honest about
it. I do care, but again, Tristan has a solid point. I mean, if the Astros are doing it, that forces everybody else to do it because, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, they say, right? So, like, if the Astros are going to do it, you can't tell me that if Alex Wood knew through his sources, other teams knew, right?
If everybody's doing it, I really don't care. If it's one team doing it, I think it becomes problematic. Mm-hmm. It's never one team.
Exactly.
In the NFL, I guarantee you there are teams right now, and it's not all teams. There are a number of teams videotaping sidelines. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's absolutely happening.
Yeah.
They're videotaping coaching cards. You know, like your coaches have a card in their hand when they're for calling plays. I guarantee you there is video technology and photographic technology that is stealing those plays off of those cards.
Yeah.
I guarantee that's happening.
Yeah.
They're videotaping sidelines to see, you know, schematics. They're,
yeah.
The coaches, you know, conversations on the headsets. I guarantee you those are being breached and listened to by the opponent. Things that you don't even consider happening are happening. It's
yeah.
why you didn't know about Tom Brady deflating his balls. Like, because mm-hmm. you would never think that taking air out of a football would make a competitive difference. It
right.
does. It's stuff like pine tar in the baseball glove.
Yeah.
That stuff is happening, and I don't really care that much about it. It's when one team like the Astros, who I still don't believe were good enough to win the World Series without doing it.
And by the way, that's the best part about this whole thing. The Nationals basically served justice.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did. I don't believe that the Astros were good enough to win the 2017 World Series. If I'm a Dodger fan, I'm pissed. By the way, Dodger fan, please don't ever change. KTLA TV in LA did an interview with a Dodger fan. And just put the Dodger fan visual in your mind, and that's exactly who this guy was. Like, he's sitting there talking about how he's suing the Astros in Major League Baseball because he wants the price of his Dodger dog and his parking and his memorabilia and all this BS refunded to him and every other Dodger fan.
Mm.
So he's suing the Astros in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, go away. Like, this is why I hate the Dodgers.
Uh-huh.
This right here, because one, Dodger fans are always a victim of something.
Always.
You're a victim of Magic Johnson and Clayton Kershaw not being clutch. Okay, if it was just 2017 where Clayton Kershaw got blown up, okay, we can talk about this.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is not clutch.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so we get that. Oh, and it's never our fault. And yeah, it is, man. Like the Dodger fans, not all, but most your garden variety Dodger fan, I can't stand them.
Yeah.
Like there are very few fan bases that I hate.
Right.
San Antonio Spurs fans, sorry, man. You guys are, you're getting what you deserve now, right? Like Dodger fans are just usually a-holes.
Yeah.
They're usually loudmouths. They're usually kicking the crap out of somebody in a parking lot while they're drunk, thinking they're cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just hate Dodger fans.
We get it.
Like, I'm just...
Right.
And I'm a Cubs fan. We routinely beat the Dodgers in the postseason in recent history. Uh-huh. I'm good with it.
Right.
Right? Like, I have nothing against the Dodgers.
Right.
I hate their fans.
Right.
Right? Like, I actually love Cody Bellinger.
Uh-huh.
I am I like their players. I like watching Jock Peterson hit.
I like watching the Dodgers beat the Brewers.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I hate their fans.
Yeah.
It's one of... Like, Dodger Stadium, for those of you who don't know, Dodger Stadium is a palace. It is one of the best places to go and watch a baseball game. Dusk at Dodger Stadium.
Gorgeous.
Can't beat it. Oh, unfortunately, you're surrounded by Dodger fans. And you have to worry about your safety. I'm not even exaggerating that. Like, you have to worry about, like, I would never bring my kid to a Dodger game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had, like, a 10-year-old, I'd be reticent to bring him to a Dodger game.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather drive down to Orange County and take him to an Angel game.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but
I used to get Mike Trout.
Yeah, hey, there you go. I would take my kid to a Giants game every single night of the week. A Cubs game, no problem.
Yeah.
A Yankee game, a Met game. Like, there are very few places where I'm like, yeah, the Oakland A's, if I got to take Bart.
Oakland is kind of sketch, dude.
San Francisco, no problem.
Yeah.
Right? Anaheim, no problem.
Yeah.
The Marlins, well, nobody goes to Marlins games. Anyway, the point is...
Wait, who are the Marlins?
Yeah, exactly, Derek Jeter. The point is, I can't stand Dodger fans.
Yeah.
I can't.
Cool.
So that is
good
what
talk.
It is. By
yeah,
the way,
perfect.
While we're talking about baseball real quick...
It's coming.
Nolan Arenado should be a Cub.
Dude, I want to see it. I want it.
here's my question. Can they, if you're the Cubs, should you pay the luxury tax? Because if you keep Chris Bryant, who they settled out of arbitration with for $25 million.
That's not bad.
If you kept him in, let's say you played him in center field.
That's
a grind on Chris Bryant. Your offense is probably going to fall.
I don't know that I want him in center field.
Would you take him in right field?
Yeah, I could see him in a corner outfield position. I don't want him in center, though.
Let's say that you trade Jason Hayward.
Yeah.
Right? You move a pitcher or a prospect or whatever.
Right.
You do whatever deal it takes that doesn't include Chris Bryant to the Rockies to get Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
You play Arenado at third. You play KB in right.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have Schwarber in left. Would you trade Schwarber to get Arenado? Yeah, every day.
I would.
Every day.
Yes.
Right? So let's say you trade Schwarber. Whatever it takes. You would play at that point Hayward in center.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You would play KB in left at that point.
Yeah.
You'll figure out right field because you have a plethora.
Yeah.
And now you've got Arenado, Baez, somebody, and Anthony Rizzo.
And Wilson Contreras.
Yeah. Would you trade Wilson Contreras to get Nolan Arenado?
No.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't. No.
Why not?
Because it's hard to find great catchers, dude. He's a great catcher.
They can't pay everybody.
Yeah,
and this is the problem with the Cubs because we have not won. And now it's time to pay some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been worth it had you won two out of five.
You know, I would rather see them go the route of getting elite in the pitching department rather than having Nolan. Like, I'd rather see them go and get, I disagree with that. So why do you disagree with it? Because when they had good pitching, they won a World Series, and they haven't had it, and now they haven't won.
Well, you also have to remember that you haven't had elite offense either. You've been kind of going through these ups and downs, right? Because when Javi's hurt, right? Like, you're probably going to start Nico Horner at second base.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Yeah.
So you're gonna have a young kid at second. You're gonna have Hayward in center.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what you get from Jason Hayward, right? You're gonna have probably 30 bombs and a 220 average in Schwarbs and left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those are three bats right there that you're gonna question. Wilson Contreras is probably going to miss 20 games, right? Most likely. He tends to find himself injured. So now you're going to have to find a backup catcher that can play a lot of games. And don't forget, you're going to have David Ross as your manager, so you're going to have a rookie manager. You need to score as many runs as you can. In today's baseball, who's the best team in the National League? It's probably
the LA Dodgers. It's the Nationals. They got Strasburg back. I mean, what's different?
And Rendon's back. Rendon went to Anaheim.
Yeah, Rendon went to Anaheim.
Yeah, he's a huge part of what they did. Mm. So we'll see. Presumptively, I think it's still the Dodgers. Okay, you can put the Nationals there. You could probably. My guess is the Mets are going to have a well above average season, right? I think the Brewers are probably still going to be there.
Right.
Right. So you're going to have your usual suspects, right? You better freaking hit. Like, the Cardinals are going to be good. If you want to win the Central, you better hit.
Yeah, so, listen, at the end of the day, you know, the teams that win World Series have pitching. I mean, that's, you know, if you have dominant pitching, you're going to be a great team. You notice the Twins led the league in home runs, I think, or were tied for the league in home runs and didn't do anything this year.
Yeah, but they were all or nothing. The Cubs have been... When you have bats like Rizzo and Baez and Bryant, you can do much more than hit home runs. Now, they hit home runs, right? But why did the Phillies not win?
Because they don't have pitching, and they didn't hit.
That's my point. But they hit a hell of a lot of home runs. But they're not professional hitters.
I just don't
want
to hear, if you sign Nolan Arenado, I don't want to hear any Cub fan bitching about pitching. Because you can't sign Nolan and get pitching. You know what I mean? So don't come to me in June and say, well, I'm upset because Tyler Chatwood's in my rotation because I had an injury. You know what I mean? Like you can't have that both ways. So
sure.
So if you want to sign Nolan, like, that's fine. Like, I don't even disagree with it. Obviously, Nolan Arenado is one of the best third basemen we've ever seen. I mean, the guy is just a beast. He has been for years and will be for years, you know? But again, like you said, I mean, you're going to have these bats, but... You honestly want to play 7-8 run baseball games? That's what you want to be as a team? Because I don't think that's what I want to be as a team. I would rather
I do want. I want to play 7-8 run baseball. I want to win 7 or 8-3 is what I want.
Well, that's not going to happen.
But okay, here's the other question then. What do you think of the Cubs bullpen? I'm a little surprised they let Steve Cishek go to the White Sox, who I think are going to be much better this year. So I think you have a few bullpen issues as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, do you believe in, you know, Mr. Mustache closer guy? Like,
Yeah, I do. They paid him. Kimbrel. Yeah. I think he's going to be Kimbrel. Much better this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
But again, he's your closer. That's not what you need to worry about. You need to worry about the middle guys who are going to carry the load for you.
Yeah, you need to worry about who's getting you, what starter can get you to the sixth.
Yeah.
And whether if that's John Lester, if that is Kyle Hendricks, Yu Darvish, like, I mean, you've got four legit guys who can get you through six.
But
right?
We need those guys to actually perform this year.
Yes.
Like, we need them to actually pull their weight.
I would agree with that.
Like, I can't emphasize this, how miserable it is to watch a Cubs game and to have to hear, well, this guy can't throw a strike. He's nitpicking. This guy's walking guys. Like, he's not locating. Like, take
can't
him out
have
in the
Carl
fourth.
Edwards
like,
yet.
Dude, I don't want to. Yeah. I'm tired of hearing about that. It makes it just wholly unenjoyable to watch the Cubs because they can't pitch, so they give up a bunch of runs, and they're constantly playing from behind.
And they're losing 9-8.
Yeah.
And they're losing,
so that's why I say,
you know,
go ahead and sign Nolan. I don't give a damn about that because it's not going to be enough because you don't have pitching. That's the frustrating part about the whole thing.
Yeah, don't disagree. The Monty Show brought to you by Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com. At Arrowhead BMW, it's all about you, and that's because they care about your experience. Arrowhead BMW knows they've got the best product in the automotive industry. A BMW is called the ultimate driving machine for a reason. The difference at Arrowhead, and the reason it's all about you, is because the product is stellar, whether that's a new BMW, a certified pre-owned. They have an incredible selection of used cars as well. But they want you in and out at Arrowhead BMW as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible. That means your entire car buying experience is an hour, period. You test drive the car, and that's because you get in the car and there's a menu of pricing. You circle how much you want to pay, what do you want your payment to be, what do you want to put down, hey, do you want to finance that vehicle, do you want to lease it? You circle that all on this menu, and the deal's done because the general manager, Calais Dudois, has already signed it. That's your negotiation. You're not getting taken advantage of because you're making the deal you want to make at Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com, right off the 101 freeway in Glendale at the Beardsley Union Hills exit. Jake, let's talk about Luke Kuechly.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Kuechly retired yesterday, and a lot of people called it shocking. Shocking retirement. Was it really shocking? I say it was not really shocking. And the reason I say it was not really shocking is that, yes, he's 28 years old, right? But he's 28 years old and he's going on 50. Multiple concussions. He's had significant injuries. And he plays a physical style of football.
Mm.
The wear and tear that Luke Kuechly has sustained on that body has probably shortened his life by, what, 10 years?
At least.
Right?
Yeah.
Why would you keep playing when you know, and if you watched Luke Kuechly's video that he released yesterday, it was tough to watch.
Yeah.
He was crying. He was emotional. He was upset, as he should have been. But you know what else he was? He was certainly made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're 28, how many more? I mean, would anybody be surprised if Luke Kuechly, with all of his concussions, is going to have CTE?
Oh, he will.
Has CTE likely now.
Yeah.
Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
So was his retirement really shocking?
No, I mean, I think it was shocking for his age, but I think, you know, like, on a surface level, it was shocking. You know, Luke Kuechly retires at age 28. Like, that's a shocking thing to say, but, you know, yeah, when you dive into it, you think about the fact that he plays a linebacker. He's always been that guy who can run fast and hit hard, and that's how he played, and, you know, and so that's why he's got all the concussions, and that's why, you know, at the end of the day, I that's why he's retiring. I think he's done what he wanted to do in the game, but that doesn't make it any easier. Like, I totally relate to the guy. Like, it sucks knowing that, you know, you're never going to play baseball again, or you're never going to play football again, or you're not going to play again. Like, that's, like, one of the hardest days in an athlete's life. Like, think about an MMA fighter. I'm never going to fight again. I'm done. Like, how do you replace getting ready for a fight? How do you replace your prep for Sunday? Like, how do you do? Like, you don't. Like, your life literally changes.
It's not even that. It's really the bus rides. It's the meetings.
Yeah.
It's the bullpen sessions. Mm-hmm. It's the team dinners or...
Yeah.
It's the camaraderie that you don't have anymore.
Yeah.
And it's why so many guys... wind up coaching. And it's what Luke Kuechly said yesterday.
Yeah, he's.
I hope I have a role somewhere.
Yeah, dude.
I hope I'm still involved somehow. Like, that's what these guys miss. They don't necessarily miss, you know, the training camp or the two-a-days or the physical practice or the weightlifting.
Yeah.
They miss those two-a-day practices with their teammates, and the camaraderie and the relationships that are built in the weight room are lifetime relationships. A lot of people who don't physically train to succeed as a team don't understand that when you're in that practice time or you're in a weight room and you're all selling out and you're working hard, that builds relationships. So it's that struggle, I think, that so many people don't understand.
Yeah.
And they can't connect with. And I think that's what Luke Kuechly is talking about.
Uh-huh.
I look at that, and then I look at the flip side of that story, and it's Tom Brady. And this story on Tom Brady, and I know that you and I disagree on this, Tom Brady cleaned out his suite at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, look, I think everything's pointing to he's leaving, right? Like, okay, great. But you're never going to get me to say that going and playing it for the Chargers is a good idea. I'm just not buying it. Like, okay, go ahead. Go play for the Chargers. And when your ass gets knocked out of the divisional round, just like you did this year,
Jake,
you tell me if it was a good idea. We'll revisit this after he's a Charger and after he goes and plays for them and fulfills every person's dream right now for his career. You tell me if it was a good idea when he doesn't go to the Super Bowl and people are starting to question his decision. That's what I'm saying. He can play football anywhere. I'm not worried about, like, his physical ability to throw a football and get it done on the field. What I'm telling you is that you just won a ton of rings and you did a bunch of great things as a Patriot, right? You're considered the best quarterback that's ever played the game at this point. And now all of a sudden you want to leave that and go and play in California so that you can romanticize your childhood. Like, okay, cool, do it. Like, I get it, but I'm just telling you, it's a risk for his legacy. It is.
Yeah, Gerald on Twitter message says that Luke Kuechly retiring is shocking. Tom Brady going to the Chargers would be much more shocking. Why are people so surprised that Tom Brady would go and play for another team? Right? I was sitting at work yesterday at the Palatial Yelp Estate.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of dudes on my team were talking about, oh, Tom Brady's not leaving. Why would he leave? Like, they've got him under contract. It's like, no, he's not under contract. Well, you know, he wants to be a Patriot for life. Does he, though? Like, why did he move to Connecticut? If you're playing in Boston, why did you move your family and your entire corporate structure, all of your training and nutrition infrastructure, to Connecticut?
I don't know.
Taxes are higher in Connecticut. Cost of living is higher in Connecticut. Don't know why. Oh, because you're not going to be a Patriot anymore. So you don't need to live in Massachusetts, right? So you're going to go in, and this is what I keep telling people. It makes no sense that he would stay with the Patriots when all of this stuff is happening. Tom Brady is going to be a free agent. So the story is that Tom Terrific cleaned out his suite at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
And when I say cleaned it out, according to the Boston media, he took everything. Pictures, jerseys that were on the wall, little mementos they had hung up in there. Like Giselle Bundchen, Mrs. Tom Brady,
yeah,
had decorated the suite. Like, had all the accoutrements,
well, for
all
her,
the comforts.
I mean, that's where she was every Sunday. So, I mean,
yeah,
that
she
was,
watched,
you know,
she watched the game in that suite.
Yeah.
All of that's gone.
Yeah.
Cleaned it out. He sold his houses.
Yeah, dude.
He moved to Greenwich, Connecticut.
Listen, I'm not disputing that he's leaving. Like, clearly he's leaving. Like, I don't think it's rocket science, right?
But why is it the end of the world that Tom Brady would wind up on another team? This is what I'm trying to get my head around.
This is not complicated. Tom Brady has won a ton of championships.
It ain't rocket science.
It's not, dude. He won a ton of championships and had a ton of success with the Patriots.
With Bill Belichick.
Right, and the Patriots.
With Bill Belichick.
Okay, what are you saying? Like,
I think he wants to win outside of Bill Belichick, and I think it makes perfect sense.
It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches for a reason.
So who's the chicken and who's the egg?
I don't know, dude.
That's exactly my point. You don't know. Was it Tom Brady who made Bill Belichick a great head coach, or was it Bill Belichick that made Tom Brady a great quarterback? Well, Bill Belichick's
a defensive guy, dude. I think it's both. I think you can't have one without the other. That's why they're so elite, and that's why they've won at such a high level. And that's why I'm saying, go ahead, go to San Diego. Go ahead and try and get it done. It ain't going to happen. Like, I'm just telling you now, it's not going to happen.
The Chargers are very good.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. I'm just telling you. If Tom Brady on the Los Angeles Chargers makes them a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. I have to see that to believe it. I don't believe it right now.
Well, okay. The Chargers were... If Tom Brady is on the Chargers this year, they're better than the Patriots were.
Sure. But,
and arguably, I think...
But that's like the magic of the Patriots. Like, we can say that about a lot of teams. The Niners were a better team than the Patriots were.
Well, this year they were better. Without Tom Brady, they were better.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'm saying. Like the 49ers were a better team this past season with Tom Brady on the Patriots. They were a better team than the Patriots this year.
But if you put Tom Brady on the Chargers...
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers were better than the Patriots. The Chargers were on par, in my opinion, with teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Yeah, maybe.
They're certainly better than the Titans.
Dude, I just don't buy that organization has like enough leadership, has enough going for it to go ahead and just, you know, just walk all over the league. And like I don't buy that they're in a position where it's like, hey, you know, let's just replace Phillip Rivers with Tom Brady, and all of a sudden, like, our team is really good. Like,
but
you're
turning over what 20% of your roster. In the NFL, you're turning over the bottom 20 of your roster every year, right? I mean, I look at Carolina now with Luke Kuechly retiring. They're going to wind up probably turning over half their roster. Like, they're going to go into a complete rebuild with Matt Rhule, right? Which is cool. I get it. You know, if I'm Cam Newton, I'm probably retiring now, right? I'm not going back into a rebuild. I don't want to play for a rebuilding Carolina Panther team, right? Let Allen, you know, let him have that, right?
Yeah.
But if you're the Chargers... And you've got Telesco and Lynn, like, you have good management infrastructure. Now, the Spanoses are a bunch of shitbags, but, I mean, hey, that hasn't stopped them from contending. Think about what they were last year versus this year. Phillip Rivers stopped throwing interceptions last year, and they were a pretty good freaking team, right? So they won a playoff game. They knocked out Baltimore last year, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Phillip Rivers goes back to, you know, I've got 26 kids. Let me throw that many interceptions. Well, they weren't very good this year now, were they?
Mm-hmm.
No. So you put Tom Terrific and Giselle Bundchen in a suite at the new L.A. Rams stadium. 2 + 2 = 7.
Yeah, I'm sure. This is. I feel like you're like, this is some kind of like dream that you just desperately want to come
true. No! What? Okay, the dream would be Tom Brady playing for the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
The dream would be Mitchell Trubisky going and effing himself and Tom Brady putting on the 12 and we all go win a Super Bowl together 5 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the dream.
Right.
Right? Or really the dream is Tom Brady starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears for 2 years and tutoring Mitchell Trubisky, who in 3 years then comes back and it's like, oh, so this is how you play quarterback. That'd be the dream. Our dog is vomiting on himself over there. But hey, you know.
What are you doing, guy?
My dog literally is sitting, for those of you.
Oh, I know. He's revolted by Tom Brady in a Charger uniform.
Well,
I get it.
But notice he woke up and his ears perked up when I said Tom Brady with the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Papa Bear Hallis is coming out of the ground to coach that team.
Yeah.
My point is, the dream would be Tom Brady to the Bears.
Right.
The reality is Tom Brady to the Chargers, because that makes sense. What makes sense is you should get your Napa know-how on in Peoria, Glendale, El Mirage, Phoenix on Bell Road, the Scottsdale Air Park, which is where you find our good friend Napa Mike Conroy, who's got a great deal for you on Legend Series batteries at his Napa Auto Parts store or any Napa Auto Care Center. You buy a Legend or Legend Premium battery and you get a $20 coupon towards your next purchase at Napa Auto Parts while supplies last. That offer ends on Leap Year Day, February 29th.
Already halfway through January, bro.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Your birthday year is coming.
My birthday year is coming, by the way.
Got another trip to Mastro's coming up.
We do. About month and 4 days.
Can't wait, dude.
From right now.
Can't wait.
Let's hope the Uber ride's better. Anyway, my point is, can we talk about Conor McGregor real quick?
Yeah, dude.
Conor McGregor is going to fight at UFC 246 on ESPN Plus this weekend.
Yeah. Is that only on ESPN Plus? Or that, obviously, that's pay-per-view, right? As well?
You know, I'm not sure. I wouldn't watch it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, now of that course you would watch on ESPN.
Now that I have the ESPN app, why in the world would I watch it on pay-per-view?
Exactly.
But thinking about Conor McGregor this weekend, Conor McGregor said something that I found to be fascinating. He said that he, you know, read an article where LeBron James spent $150 million a year or $1.5 million a year, $150 million. He spent $1.5 million a year on his body, LeBron James. Conor McGregor said that completely changed his way of thinking. Conor said, hey, you know, I was buying myself these beautiful cars and watches and furs and all this stuff. And now I've stopped doing that and I've started putting that money into my body.
Yeah.
And now he is in what I think Conor is in the most important fight of his life.
Yeah.
This fight against Cowboy Cerrone Saturday night on ESPN Plus is a must win for Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
It's an $80 million payday for McGregor. But this will determine, I think if he loses this fight, he may have one more fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
He is supposedly in the best shape of his career. He looks like a machine.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
How big of a fight is this? You're a huge Conor McGregor guy, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a fight is this?
Yeah, I think it's a huge fight. I think you said it as good as anyone can say it. I mean, if he's got to win this fight to continue his career, and I don't think he's at that place where he's at the end of his career and, you know, this is like just one last hurrah. He's not there, but I think, you know, he just hasn't won in a minute, and I think it's time for him to get back on top, you know, and get back into the winning column again. And I think for him, I mean, you're talking about a guy who held, you know, the belt and in two different divisions. You know, he was the double champ, as he so famously said. You know, and so this is somebody who's very talented. But I think, you know, in a sport like mixed martial arts, you're all the money should be going into your body. I mean, your body is everything in that sport. You know, and so if your stamina is not where it needs to be, if you're not able to perform at a high level throughout the entire fight, like how many times? How many fights over the years have we seen where the fighters just get tired at the end of the fight and they can't finish, right? So for him, you know, he's already a really elite striker. He, you know, you don't see him finishing fights from the ground much, you know. So for him, he wants to be on his feet and he wants to be moving and be really active and basically fight a high-energy fight. So he needs to be putting that money into his body. So I love to be hearing this from him. I think... You know, I wasn't a huge fan of when he had that bus incident where he threw that guardrail thing through the window and, like, all that went down. Like, the Nate Diaz saga was just very, like, childish in my opinion. Like, they were good fights, but everything around it was childish.
Something changed in Conor with the Money May promotional tour. Yeah. I just think he enjoyed the character of Conor McGregor far more than he enjoyed the fighter Conor McGregor.
Right.
And I think he got away from that process a little bit.
Yeah.
And we talk about this all the time. And being, you know, a professional seller now and understanding that there is a process that wins and a process that loses. And the process that loses doesn't have much of a process at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So whether you are a fighter, a seller, a janitor, whatever, if your process is flawed, you're going to lose. And Conor McGregor's process, I feel like, got flawed
right
somewhere along the way. Mm. And his focus, I say this all the time, so forgive me if I'm being redundant, but you either have discipline or you have disappointment.
Mm.
And I feel like the discipline and the process for Conor McGregor kind of got skewed a little bit.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing a guy, at least on the outside, who looks like he is in the best physical shape of his life. He looks like a guy that I would not want to get into a boxing ring with. And if I'm an MMA fighter, if I'm Cowboy Cerrone this weekend, you better have your boxing gloves on.
Yeah.
Because Conor is, in my opinion, the best boxer in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, can Cowboy Cerrone get him off his feet and wrestle with him?
Yeah.
And that's always kind of been the kryptonite for Conor.
Yeah.
Who is not, he can handle himself on the ground, but he's never been an elite ground guy.
Yeah.
You get too close and he's going to knock you on your ass.
Yeah.
And I think that, to me, I want to see the evolution of Conor McGregor this weekend.
Yeah.
I want to see what has he turned into? What is this discipline and this new focus turned him into? That's the question that I need answered.
Yeah, and he said in his own words that he was sharp now, and I think that's what, like, it's always funny to me with fighters, right? They win a bunch of fights, they get to the pinnacle of their career, you know, and then they get distracted, right? They feel that success. They get distracted. They buy their Lamborghinis and their watches, and, like, they live that big life. And we saw Connor go through that phase, you know? And I don't even have a problem with buying the items. It's more about the fact that he was just ultra-focused on that stuff and, like, celebrating his success rather than, you know, putting it back into his process, getting ready for the next
fight.
Yeah,
he really liked – Conor McGregor really liked being the double champ.
Yeah, which I don't blame him. That's like, very rare, dude. Like, no, I get it.
It's historic. It's historic, right? Like, I mean, I need Conor McGregor.
Yeah, dude.
And I need him because I've fallen away from the UFC and MMA in general.
Well, I just don't know what there is to follow without Conor. Like, I don't know. Who am I following in the UFC if I'm not following Conor McGregor? Nate Diaz?
No.
No.
Like, I mean, Triple G? I don't know. Boxing in general, to me, is the same as MMA. I know what it's doing to their brains, so I struggle with it a little bit.
Mm.
But I truly, truly enjoy everything that comes with Conor McGregor when he's not throwing guardrails through bus windows.
Yeah.
When he's not punching old men in bars.
Yeah.
I enjoy everything that comes with Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Now I need to learn to re-enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to rekindle that love and that fire.
And I think there are
for Conor McGregor.
There are a few fighters who, when they're getting introduced and the fight starts, where you're just so amped on it, like watching him like walk into the ring and do everything. It just he's legendary in that respect.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. We're out of time. Do we talk about robots?
Okay, real quick, just really quick. Like,
okay,
just
they're putting human DNA into robots. So that robots can do things like swim the ocean and clean up plastic.
Mm.
So that they can use the micro technology in robots that already exist. They can put human DNA in them. And apparently that makes it possible that they can crawl through your veins and eat cancer. They can crawl through your heart and eat plaque out of your arteries.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not, like, seriously, that sounds terrifying to me. Like, they're training robots right now that are the size of small frogs to act like frogs. And they're putting DNA in them so that they have human characteristics because it changes their intellect.
Right.
I'm like, no, hell no.
I mean, this is one step from Skynet. Let's be honest.
This is...
Now we're talking about putting human characteristics into robots.
No, dude,
and like,
I'm not
doing
that.
Like, I get why the thought process.
I'm not doing that.
Like, hey, let's create a robot to you know, eat cancer and like do all these cool things. Like,
meat,
that's great,
dude.
And everything. But
cool.
Like, at the same time, the practical application of that is not great. I would even be down with, I like the idea of, you know, a robot that can swim in the ocean and help clean the ocean. Like, we clearly need
that.
Do
you need human DNA for that?
Well, I don't think so. But, you know, last time I checked, humans don't breathe underwater. So, you know, I don't think you need that. But at the end of the day, like, we do need solutions for our environmental issues. So I don't mind that.
But we already have processes in place to eat plaque out of your arteries,
uh-huh.
Right? We already have, I mean, anything that solves cancer or cures cancer, I'm really in favor of it, right?
Right.
One of the things I really worry about is getting cancer. Like, it terrifies me.
Right.
So I'm in favor of that.
Uh-huh.
But this robot thing with human DNA?
Nah.
Nah. No. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's scary, dude. Like, we're one step away from, hey, robots taking over the world. Like...
If you want to send in robots to defuse bombs, cool.
Maybe that's what all those AR-15s are for, right?
I don't know, man. I'm just, I am not a fan of robotics. I get it. I think it was Apple made that robot that can do gymnastics.
No idea.
Dude, why do we need a robot that does gymnastics? Like tumbling passes, they can do the vault, the uneven bar. Like,
nah.
Why?
Nah.
Why do we need that?
We don't.
The Monty Show is presented by Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com, and Napa Auto Parts. Make sure you find our good friend Napa Mike in any of his five stores, El Mirage, Glendale, Peoria, Phoenix on Bell Road, in the Scottsdale Air Park. Until tomorrow, Jake.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.